Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Let's get back to the audition with Del Olale and the guy who's still auditioning, Brad Kellner. Will he get the part? Only Del knows that answer. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del and auditioner Brad Kellner.
Welcome back to the audition. You heard the voice guy Brad Kellner in from the Wheelhouse helping me out as the auditions continue throughout the week. The Astros go down 6-0 to the Brewers. Their 8-game win streak is over. Montero was terrible. Abreu was terrible. So par for the course. We had our Jeff Bagwell discussion earlier in the show in the first hour. And it's not been a good week for Jeff Bagwell in the booth, because anytime he's in there, his major acquisitions fail and fail miserably. But hey, like I said before, if you lose a game that way, if your win streak's going to end, let it end that way. Let's not have a blown save by Ryan Pressly to cost you. You were never in the game, particularly after the sixth inning. Well, you were in the game. It was only 2-0, but your chances to score pretty much dwindled after that sixth inning when Abreu and Pena struck out in back-to-back at bats. There was a wild pitch in between those where you had second and third with Alvarez and Tucker, who are your most consistent hitters. They're on with a chance to tie the game, and neither Abreu, which we expected, didn't come through, and then Pena swung out a bad ball.
Yeah, he did.
It was atrocious. Had no clue, and the Brewers get out of the inning, and that was kind of all she wrote for the Astros.
Yeah, that game felt very pre-win streak 2023 Astros, right? They follow up their best offensive output of the season with a stinker.
You know, it's one of those things where they save some runs for tomorrow, and I always think it's stupid. In this case, yes, you probably should have saved 12, like maybe 5 of those runs from Monday's outing for yesterday as they get shut out.
Yeah, exactly. 5 runs on Monday, 7 yesterday.
Yeah, that would have been enough.
6, and it's all good. But yeah, I mean, they go 12 runs, 15 hits, 5 homers on Monday. They couldn't have done better offensively. And then yesterday, yeah, they lay an absolute egg against a guy who had an ERA close to 6 going into that start, right? They dominate the Cy Young winner in Corbin Burns on Monday, and then this dude I never heard of goes out and picks up his first win of the season and throws nearly 6 innings of shutout ball against this Astros ball club. So, yeah, we got first world problems that we complain about with this baseball team because they've been so dominant over the years, but it did feel very par for the course with what we've seen from this team for the majority of the season.
The guy you never heard of hadn't started and won a game since 2016.
Is that right?
Yes, Colin Ray. He had not been the starting pitcher and then went on to win a game since 2016.
Now, the good news is the Astros start to look good. Like, I feel bad for J.P. France because he did more than enough to win. A career-high 8 strikeouts. He gave up just 1 run in 5 2/3 of an inning. So he obviously gave the Astros a chance to win, but you don't have any chance to win if you can't score. So hopefully the offense can figure it out today, game to day. Hopefully they do what they usually do, Del. They're awesome in getaway days. They had a ridiculous streak that ended a couple of weeks ago, but since then I think they've won 3 straight getaway day games. So this is what they do. Hopefully they can win another series and fly happy to Oakland.
I don't partake in this madness just because it feels silly, but the Killer Bees reference Dusty's lineup. It's one of their things. And he was a guy, maybe not so much last year, but the year before, those Sunday games, he would throw out the subpar lineup. And people took issue with it because you got to take issue with Dusty. Now I think people are done going after him. You win a World Series. I think you leave him alone.
Oh,
is that where you
on.
Stand? Or are you still going after him?
That's where I stand. I mean, I only have lineup chatter.
Okay.
Or lineup fodder. I don't criticize Dusty Baker for his lineups. But now Astros Twitter is still getting on Dusty all the time. But that's the way I operate. Like, once you win a World Series, once you've proven that you could do it, then I'm going to give you the benefit of the
doubt. And he pulled the right strings in the playoffs. Yeah. So I think I would hope that we're done. Leave the old man alone. He's got leave Dusty alone. He's got his World Series. I think we should be like, you know what? You're going to ride off into the sunset at some point and probably leave, maybe not as a two-time World Series champion, but you'll probably leave in a playoff series, a very competitive one, whenever you decide to walk away, as long as you're the Astros manager. You mentioned J.P. France. He had a bounce-back performance after a tough outing in his last start. Here's Mr. France on his performance.
That was a huge, huge bounce-back outing. I mean, unfortunately, we couldn't pull it out. But, yeah, to get back on a bump and to give one earned run after last outing, that was big time.
What would be your mindset as a starting pitcher? I think about this is a different sport, but Brooks Koepka was asked about what it meant for Liv after he won the PGA. And he was like, yeah, it's great for Liv, but this is about me.
Yeah.
I went out there and won. I want to talk about me. If you're J.P. France in this particular situation where your team doesn't win, but you're really good in your outing, or at least certainly a bounce back performance from your previous one, are you like, you know what? We lost, but did I really lose? I know, actually, in the win-loss record, he did lose.
He did.
But would you be feeling pretty good? You know what? This really isn't on me. Those guys didn't score enough runs. Abreu, you clearly cost me. I'm of the impression if I was a starting pitcher, y'all saw what I did out there, right?
Yeah, I'd be feeling great if I'm JP France.
I think I'd be feeling pretty good despite the loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he said the right thing, right? I mean, it sucks that the team couldn't get it done. But, no, JP France has to be feeling really, really good about himself. I mean, it took him until he was 28 to get called up to the big leagues, and three of his four starts, he's been really, really good. And last night, to do it against a division leader in Milwaukee, like, that's impressive. So, yeah, J.P. France, internally, I think he's very satisfied with what he did. Career-high 8 strikeouts for him. And I don't want to say he's making it look easy, but there's got to be a little sense of relief. Like, it's got to be incredibly nerve-wracking to get called up to the big leagues, and what's the adjustment going to be? He's made it look relatively easy with what he's been able to do on the bump so far, and he was thrown into a tough situation. He's been really, really solid, and I feel pretty good about the Astros' chances to win every fifth day when he's out there.
Like, I didn't play baseball, but I played a couple team sports, and because of the sports, it was soccer and football. Your performance sometimes directly contributed to wins, and certainly if you played poorly, it directly contributed to losses. In baseball, a lot of stuff is out of the starting pitcher's control, particularly on a night where you don't get any runs scored for you. I would be a terrible teammate. I wouldn't yell at anyone, but everyone would know that I knew it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
I would walk in there and I probably would need a lot of media training because there'd be a smirk on my face going, yeah, this isn't really about me. Did you see what those guys
did
out there?
You would want your teammates apologizing to you, like going into you in the locker room after the game and being like, hey man, you did enough for us to win, but we couldn't get it done.
You know how like a pitcher will salute, in fact, I think it happened a couple times last night from the Brewer pitcher where he was saluting Colin Ray. He was saluting his center fielder for a couple plays he made.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want those guys tipping their cap to me and saying, you know what, we'll get you next time. I wouldn't say it, but I would want it.
When I get taken out of the game, I don't just want the fans giving me a standing O. I want you guys giving me a standing
O. I don't need you to break every rule in baseball, but I just want you to know you should feel like you should give me a standing O.
Yeah.
I don't actually want you to do it, but I'd like you to feel like you should because I was great out there, and you guys cost me.
Yeah, I did enough for this team to win. Like, yeah. I did my job, okay? I only work every fifth day.
I know you guys are out there all the time.
Yeah, you guys are working hard. You guys are playing 162, and I'm playing like 25 or 30, but still, I got the job done today, and you guys didn't, so pay me some respect.
Yeah, you are out there for 144, possibly at 162, but my salary as a starting pitcher says I'm more important.
You'd be a great teammate, Dale.
I'd be terrible. In baseball, I'd be terrible. I've never played it on a team level, but particularly as a pitcher, never done that. But in other team sports, I get it. We're all working together to make sure things go right. But as you're an individual out there, and if you cost me wins internally, I'm gonna have a problem. But hey, probably one of the reasons I'm not a pitcher, other than that whole talent thing.
Yeah,
there's that too.
You're like the Tanya Harding of teammates, Dale.
I would hire Jeff Galooly, too.
Yeah, if someone's competing with you for a job, you're absolutely doing that.
Yeah, now I have to ask, what did J.P. France do to Jose Urquidy? What did he do to him?
Wow.
If we're going down that route, you have to ask these questions. I'm not saying follow the money, but follow the injury.
Yeah, and Brandon Belak, what did he do to Luis Garcia?
These are all things that have led to J.P. France becoming a prominent member of the Astros rotation. I think questions should be asked. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. See, terrible teammate, at least when it comes to baseball. We're going to move to basketball, mostly because I have a story to tell about a halftime interaction with my neighbor that was as awkward as I've ever had with a neighbor, mostly because I don't talk to them, and the one time I do, it went poorly. So we'll talk about that. We'll also get into what happened in the actual game where the Celtics extend their season, and now all the talk will be about can the Celtics win this series, and, you know, not realistically, but it's possible because they haven't been eliminated yet. But down 3-1, having to win three more in a row, I feel like it's improbable because it's been impossible in basketball's in all of basketball's history. But that will be the discussion until the Heat eliminate them. And you know they're begging for it. You know, first take, get up. They're all begging for another Celtics win.
Oh yeah,
so they can start piling on the pressure and starting the narratives about what it would mean for a team like the Celtics to come back from 0-3. RJ, your team tried and failed to win a game. Does this mean the Celtics already have their 18th championship because they've already outdone you? He says no. Mm. He's probably right about that. I don't think you win banners for avoiding getting swept in the conference finals. I don't think that's how that works. We'll talk about that and other things, but particularly that awkward interaction. The audition with Dell, Brad, and RJ. We'll be back.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the audition with Dell Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Brad Kellner.
We want to come back to Miami. So if that happens, I feel like we're going to feel good about ourselves. So the next one should be fun. It should be a big one, and we got to come ready to play.
That was Jaylen Brown, who figured out how to dribble a little bit last night. He avoided the back-breaking turnovers, and actually it was the Heat. They committed all the live ball turnovers in the second half, led to Boston runouts, and got their transition game going. Boston is a team who has to play from ahead, and they have to make shots. They're not going to just lock you down and play that way. If the shots are falling, they have a different personality. They all of a sudden become engaged. But defense doesn't lead to their offense, or offense leads to their defense, and they get energized. And it was a 30-point difference in three-point shooting.
Yep.
They Boston made 10 more threes. They had their best shooting night of the series, obviously, when you make that many. And they win that game running away. They were down by 6 at the half. They outscored the Heat by 23, because I'm doing math here. When you win by 17, you're down by 6 at the half. You outscored them by 23. Look at that.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So a game that felt like it was going the Heat's way because just of the tempo, that Boston made a run in the second quarter, and by the time the quarter was over, the Heat were still up by 6. And I think they went up as much as 9 early in that third quarter.
I thought it was over, though.
So did I, kind of, because of how Boston responded in game 3. And then the shots started falling, and the turnovers started picking up for the Heat. They got out transition, and they got a win. If you're a Heat fan, which I am, I would be more concerned if Boston allegedly figured something out. But what they figured out is if you make a lot of threes, you win.
Yeah, that's it, man.
So I don't think anything changed other than their shots dropped, and they built off of that, and they got a win.
Yeah, people used to say certain teams were live and die by the three. Now it's the whole sport is live and die by the three. So you said it. I mean, Boston 18 of 45 from deep. Miami only made 8 threes. That's the difference in the ball game right there. Boston got hot, mainly Jason Tatum. He went off in that third quarter, and that was enough for the Celtics to get a win. So I still feel good about your Heat. I wouldn't be surprised if this got to a game 6, like if Boston defended home court.
For once.
Like sort of what the Knicks did in the last round, right? They were down 3-1 and then ended up winning game 5 at the Garden, and then Miami was able to close them out back in South Florida. That'd probably be my prediction right now, but yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Like, the Celtics just got hot. They showed some fight. They showed some heart. We hadn't seen that from them throughout the course of the series, but Miami, I think, has proven through these 4 games that they're the better team, and I still expect them to win this thing.
37-2 on the year when they shoot at least 40% from three. That's what the Celtics are. So they got to their magic number and won. Dominant team when they can make shots from that range. And I think they're 2 games under 500 when they don't shoot 40% from three. So that's just a big swing. They're a team that is built on making a lot of threes. And when they don't, they lose. So we'll see what happens in game 5 in Boston on Thursday night. The story I wanted to tell based around that game was at halftime. The Heat were up by six. I hear this bang on my side door. And normally people don't knock on that door just because, you know, there's a front door.
Yeah.
So it was a little alarming to me. I thought it was the neighbors to the right of me. It happened to be the neighbors to the left because they have kids and sometimes the ball goes into the yard. So I have to go back there and get it. But okay. This time it was an older gentleman and I didn't recognize him, mostly because I don't pay attention to my neighbors at all.
You know what he looked like?
I know what he looks like, but I hadn't seen him in a while, and he was using, are they called walkers? I don't know what they're called. Like, they have four legs, and he pushes it. Is that what a walker is
called?
Yeah. Okay.
For the tennis balls at the
bottom? Yeah. I don't know if he had the tennis ball. I think I heard the clicking of it, of the hitting of the pavement, so he wasn't at that point yet, but he had him, and I don't think I've ever seen him with that. He's been my neighbor for years, and I'm talking over a decade. So this is why this gets really bad. So he walks up, and my dad has been long retired, but mail still gets delivered to that house, his mail, from time to time. So the mail got delivered to their box. So the neighbor's doing a great thing. He's bringing it over. I think it was like a Social Security thing. So yeah, obviously
9 o'clock though at night.
It was halftime of a game. So yeah, right around 9 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
The game starts at 7:30. So he brings over the mail. And he's knocking on after he knocks on the door, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. The game's about to come back on. But I say hello, and I don't immediately recognize him. And he goes, hey, this looks important. Here it is. And then he says to me the first thing that was very awkward, at least in my response. He goes, yeah, I always try to wave. But he doesn't say you never wave back. Mm. He goes, I always try to wave, but you know, people are busy, which was his point to tell me, you don't ever wave back.
Yeah.
And he's right, because I don't remember him ever waving at me. So
he's a not-so-subtle way
of telling me that I wave at you and you never wave back.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this isn't going great for me,
and
I just want to get back to the game. So I'm trying to rush this along, and I'm going, and he introduces himself, and I introduce myself, which is a problem since he's been my neighbor for 10 years, and I don't know his name. Oh, that's what I go. Then I go, oh, what's your name? Which is the second issue.
10 years?
I don't know his name.
You didn't recognize what he looked like, and you don't know his name.
I'm telling you, it was bad.
Man.
It was bad. So I shake his hand. I'm sure that was a shock to his system when I go, what's your name? So he goes, and then I introduce myself to him as well. And then I go, oh, what house are you? And he goes, I'm your next door neighbor.
Oh, no.
I'm to the right of you. And I was like, ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Do you ever leave your house? Like, is this the first time you've gotten out in years?
No, I leave my house. I just, like I said, it's tunnel vision. God. It's like, it's almost like the two houses on the side of me don't exist.
Do you have a garage?
Yes.
So, okay, you park in the garage.
No, it's not a carport, but there's like, it's like an over, I don't know, I guess, it's, I don't know what it's called, but I drive up my drive and then there's like this overhang of the house, the second level,
uh-huh.
And that overhang. And I park under that. So I do have a garage, but I never park in it. So that's not an excuse for me.
Right.
The garage isn't connected directly to the house. So even if I parked in it, I still have to come out. But he wouldn't see me. But still, I can hide because I don't park on the street. So that's one benefit of mine. So that's another way where I can always excuse myself and go away. I'm never out in the street. As soon as I drive in, I can walk right into my door. But I think what he does when he sees me pulling up, he waves. But I'm so focused on pulling in that I never see him.
Yeah.
So let's backtrack. He says, I wave at you, and then makes it known that I never wave back.
Mm-hmm.
I ask him his name after he's been my neighbor for a decade.
Yeah.
And then I ask him where does he live.
Well, did he know your name?
Well, he didn't know.
Okay.
No.
So you can't feel that bad
about
it.
That's true. But you know, when you're the younger person and the older neighbor, it's always your fault, kind of. It's
like,
always your fault.
What would you have done if he's like, come on, Dale, you really don't know my name?
I've listened to you for years on the bench.
Yeah.
It would have got weird.
Yeah.
It would have
been awful.
It would have been weird if
and
he
then
didn't
you
know
follow
my name.
Up with, where are you? Where do you live?
Yeah. It was just, look, I kind of blame myself for the Heat loss because I'm a fan and I was really bad at halftime and they were really bad in the second half.
So
it was
karma.
It was all connected. I deserved it. I deserved the Celtics to go for 38 points in the third quarter because of I was 0 for at that halftime.
I'd be pretty scared if I had you as a neighbor because I get worried about people who just never come out of their house.
I come out of the house.
Nope, you just said you don't.
No, I come out of I said I never
you
I
never
don't
wave,
wave.
You never
I've
smile,
never seen
you
a
never
wave.
Look at your neighbors like I'd be terrified of my neighbor.
Look, I for the most part now, I work from home. So that's another reason why I don't have to get out of the house. But that's no excuse for the previous 9 years.
Yeah.
Because I was coming here every day.
Yeah.
But I will say, when we talked about schedules, I would leave my house like at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black. It's pitch black. And I would come home from work at around 11, 1130, where if you have a normal job, you're not home.
Right.
So there are opportunities where there are chances where I wouldn't see them for weeks at a time. But still, it's been years.
And a lot of that's BC too, right? Before COVID. So
definitely.
Everyone else is gone doing their thing, and yet you don't see anybody throughout the course of the day. Oh, man, that's awesome. That's why the Heat lost. Like, now I know.
Yeah, it started the minute half the second quarter ended. Like I said, I went 0 for 8 with 4 turnovers in that halftime, and they proceeded to almost duplicate my performance.
It's James Harden in an elimination game. Ooh. Right there.
Yeah, that was 0 for 7. That was Game 7 Warriors, or even Game 5 Warriors, with the 12 turnovers. It was a bad run for me. I got to recover for Game 5.
So now I wonder, are you worried about your team the rest of the way? Like, could the sports karma carry over the last 3 games of the series?
I feel like I'm exercising demons by admitting how bad I was on the show. So I feel like I've done enough. And like Jimmy Butler said, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I'll be okay.
I hope that guy's listening right now.
The bad thing is, he told me his name, and I've already forgotten.
Oh, God.
So if we have this discussion again, I'm going to ask him. Actually, I can't. There's no way I can ask him again what his name is. What was it? Was it Ike?
Oh, man. What's like a stereotypical old guy name?
Yeah.
White guy?
Yes.
Okay, stereotypical old white guy name.
That was rough, man.
Fillmore?
It wasn't Fillmore.
Abe?
I feel like it. The father of Homer? Abe?
I just thought of my two grandpa's names. Okay. I'm like, yeah, old white guys. There
I feel
you go.
Like it, I feel like it was Ike. It was, yeah, man. Sorry, Ike, or whatever your name is.
Man.
I still don't remember it.
I'm going to go by your house today and like take your mail out and give it to your neighbor just so this interaction happens again.
I don't think he's going to do it this time. I think he'll just leave it on the windshield of the car. Yeah. I don't think he wants any part of what he had to experience.
You don't think Theodore wants to relive that?
I don't think it was Theodore. Mm. I feel like it's an Ike, but I'm probably wrong. God.
Oh, man.
So that's how I deal with my neighbors. Do you have neighbors that you talk to all the time?
Yeah. So two sets of neighbors. One, there's been construction on the house since I moved in like 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's been kind of obnoxious.
That's
actually
annoying.
But they're really nice people. We get along great. They're over all the time just checking out the construction. But literally, like, Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. till 6 p.m., just every single day construction going on. They just totally redid their house. But they're cool. And then it's not quite your level, but the other neighbors I've talked to once or twice in the 2 years that I've lived there. And it's funny enough, they're really old. Like, it's a married couple. I think not quite Leonardo DiCaprio age difference, but I think the woman is in, like, her late 70s, early 80s, and the guy's 100, and they don't leave the house.
How did that come about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the story. But they've been living there forever. They go on like 2 walks a day. She just like walks him around the neighborhood, and he's got the walker, but he's got the upgrades. He paid for the tennis ball package on the walker, so he's living large.
Quote unquote, Ike hasn't gotten to that point yet.
I live in West U, man. People don't spare any expense.
Gotcha.
Not that I can afford the house.
Yeah, West U. What are we talking about for you? I don't know what.
Yeah.
What a host gets paid for the afternoon show, but I was like, what?
I just know the right people.
Good for you.
That's really what it comes down to.
Good
so,
for you.
I don't know if I know their names, actually, so I can't be criticizing
Yeah,
you
but it hasn't
much.
Been a decade.
But it hasn't been a decade. Now no. It's been like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's a big difference. That's a big difference.
And I do wave and say hi to them whenever I see them, unlike you.
I don't. I'm like, tunnel vision. Get me in the house, please. Rich says, before we go to break, don't feel bad, Dad. I've lived in my house for 19 years, and I don't know any of my neighbors.
19 years.
So it happens. But it struck me right in the face. I was like, oof. Like, if something awful was happening, if he heard like screaming and he thought something really bad was going on in my house, he'd be like, well, that man don't know my name. I'm staying out of it.
Yeah, he doesn't know that I'm his neighbor.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, I'm home, but he doesn't know I'm here. He doesn't know I exist, so I'm going to leave that alone.
How about this tweet from Riley? I think the only way you could save your Heat at this point is by inviting the neighbor to watch the game with you.
Not a chance. We talked about, and he mentions Granny too. I don't know if you know that reference. There's the neighbor on the other side is an older woman, and it became, and you know, because of the people I work with in this time slot, it became where I was dating the older woman, and I played into it because you're not going to embarrass me and then think you're going to make it a joke where I never play into it. So that's how it came about. So now I have I wouldn't call it a relationship, an arrangement with Granny. That's why he makes that reference. But no, I had this talk yesterday. I don't watch games that mean something to me around people. Okay. I can't do it. I don't eat because, and RJ doesn't either, I believe. He said he doesn't eat. If a game means something, like if the Lakers are playing in a big game, he wouldn't eat.
Not even during halftime?
Nah, it's not my thing. I don't like it.
You just eat before the game starts.
Yeah, or after, depending on when it starts. But I am not sitting down with a plate of food or wings or whatever it might be when my favorite team's playing a game.
Too locked in.
Yeah, it's just, I don't like it. I don't even understand how people do it. If I'm too nervous, I don't have an appetite.
So you prefer sleeping with your neighbor who's a grandma over eating?
I wouldn't say we're sleeping.
Well,
see, you want to play into
the tweet was saying.
Well,
sure,
we
sounds like
if you, no. I mean, there is a certain aspect. Yeah, my mom's listening. I'm going to leave this one alone. it's a joke, Mom. I'm just playing into the bit, or the sketch, whatever you want to call it. So that was my interaction. The Heat lose, and I think I played a huge part in it. That's no, his name wasn't Jay Sean Childish Altuve. It's an older white gentleman. I don't know any older white gentleman named Jay Sean. I feel like his name was Ike. I feel like it's what he said, but I can't be sure. And I really hope it doesn't cost the Heat a trip to the finals because of how bad I was in that halftime period. So that's how terrible I am with my neighbors. If you got neighbor stories, please do tweet, call the show, 713-780-3776. We've got more to talk about, including how a young quarterback who doesn't play for the Texans responded to a legendary quarterback for the same team saying he didn't root for him or he wouldn't root for him. So we'll talk about that and more here on The Audition. Del, Brad, RJ, we'll be back.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Back to the audition with Del Olale and the guy who's still auditioning, Brad Kellner. Will he get the part? Only Del knows that answer. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del and auditioner Brad Kellner.
I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail, but like, you know, when someone comes to replace you, you're like, you know, I still feel like I had it. Like, I hope he doesn't come like ball out, because then it's like Ben who, right?
Right.
But honestly, I think as you started playing. And like I found myself rooting more and more for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we sat down here and watched games, and we were high-fiving, going nuts when you were like leading the team and doing things, you know, and running and doing some of the trying to fight people, all that stuff. Like,
that was my favorite, by the way.
Yeah,
I was like, you better swing on that, fool.
Yeah, the fans should be lucky. They are lucky. They got you. But that's what I'm going to say. I was early on. I didn't want him to succeed because I didn't want him. You know, they followed me up. I didn't want it to happen.
That's Ben Roethlisberger talking about his initial experience rooting or not rooting for Kenny Pickett. And my question is, did he watch Kenny Pickett play? How many times were you watching him lead his team when with his 7 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year?
You didn't like those numbers?
That's terrible. What's he talking about? Look, the honesty I appreciate and maybe turning a corner and wanting the guy to be better, but I feel like some of that's a lie, because how often could you have been cheering watching him play down the stretch? He wasn't good.
He's still not rooting for Kenny Pickett, and I think Ben Roethlisberger feels comfortable saying this because he knows Kenny Pickett just isn't very good.
That's the thing. Like, you can come out and go, he probably felt better after watching him play.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? This guy ain't got it.
Yeah.
I feel good rooting for you now because I know you ain't got it.
I guarantee you Ben Roethlisberger is still rooting against Kenny Pickett because, yeah, he talked about it. He said it right there. He cares about his legacy, and he doesn't want to be forgotten about. And he doesn't want to be like, oh, Ben was good, but the guy after him, oh, Kenny Pickett, he was even better. He was able to do what Big Ben couldn't do, and not that Big Ben didn't have a bunch of success in the NFL. He's obviously a future Hall of Famer who had a tremendous career. But, no, guys like that, they don't always admit it, but most of them are rooting against their successor because – they want people caring about them. They want people talking about
them.
He
couldn't even admit that he didn't have it anymore. You're in that clip because I still had it. No, you didn't.
No.
You either stop watching film at some point or you're delusional because you didn't have it.
You made Peyton Manning's last year look very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Was his final game a playoff ass kicking, or did they even make the playoffs? Against the Chiefs where, like, TJ Watt scored a touchdown and they had an early lead and then Kansas City went on to run away with that game.
Yep.
He didn't have it. So either he's just delusional or a liar. I'm not sure which one, but I think he's lying about the Kenny Pickett thing. I think he's delusional about what he was as a player in his final year.
My question to Big Ben would be, is there anything else you'd like to apologize for?
I want to know. He's going to say, why are you bringing up old stuff?
Yeah.
He brought up old stuff.
He brought up something that happened last year. I'm bringing up something in the past.
Why are you bringing up old stuff? I thought we were over that, Brad. Why you got to talk about stuff like that? That stuff is – I mean, he's no longer the Texans quarterback. But I always wonder about things like that with the people around you. Like, you're going to have your ardent supporters no matter what, the people whose livelihood depends on you being a great player and bringing in money. But in the dark recesses of their heart, are they ever tempted to go, what were you doing? What's that about?
Oh yeah.
But they never say it. You can't kill off the money train. You can't stop that money from flowing. And so you never say it.
The whole bite the hand that feeds you thing.
Yeah, because there are people in, let's just say, number four's life that we know about because they're either training him or they're agents. They're very prominent figures on Twitter in some way, shape, or form. They're public names, and they talk about things, maybe not referring to Deshaun, but other quarterbacks in the game of football. But you never hear them talk about him because they know better.
I'd have to ask Deshaun. Like, at some point after a bunch of drinks.
That's not why you're not in the inner circle.
I wouldn't directly ask it, but I would, like, I try to get the stories out of him.
Someone in his life has had to be like, you know what was this?
Yeah.
What was that?
See, I wouldn't even do that. I would just be talking about it and being like, just bringing up a story. Like, maybe we hung out earlier the night that he was accused of having one of these massages. Just, like, bring that up, talking about it, and hope that he goes down that path of talking about it himself. He's like, oh, yeah, then after that I went and did this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, so tell me a little bit more about that.
He couldn't have me as a friend, because all I would ask about is, wait a minute, we were at the club a couple hours before you went there. Well, what's the timeline? I couldn't be the friend of a person who has that type of infamy, because I would never let it go. I would have so many questions.
Right, me
and,
too.
And eventually they would tire of it because they have enough people around them who don't ask questions.
Yeah,
I'd be out of the mix pretty early. But that's been Roethlisberger, kind of delusional, and both of us, Brad and I, think probably lying about the whole rooting for Kenny Pickett thing. Or he knows Kenny Pickett ain't got it, so he's fine rooting for him because he knows at some point there'll be another quarterback for the Steelers. Kenny Pickett spent his entire collegiate career in Pittsburgh. Okay, this is the question. Kenny Pickett, I think, spent 5 years playing for the Panthers. The COVID year gave him the extra year, so I think he spent 5 seasons playing there. Does he last 5 seasons as a Steeler?
It's the entirety of his first contract with the fifth-year option.
Do you think he gets a fifth-year option?
Oh, man. This is tough because the Steelers always have winning records, right? That's Mike Tomlin's
bit. They've never
had a losing season with Mike Tomlin as the head coach. Like, it's relatively tough to make a quarterback change if your team is winning games year in and year out. If Kenny Pickett's the guy who loses that streak, like, Mike Tomlin's not getting fired the first time his team goes 7-10, 8-9, whatever it is. Kenny Pickett's the guy losing his job. So I'm going to say no. I don't think Kenny Pickett is the guy for all 5 years or for the next 5 years, whatever it is that you asked me. I think the Steelers will move on by then.
I agree. Now, he does have a young receiver, and we talked about it before, what those receivers can do. George Pickens, we'll see in his second year there what Kenny Pickett does with him. But I don't foresee that being a long-term solution.
You worried about his hand size?
No.
Tiny hands that he has?
No, I just worry about him not being very good at being quarterback in the NFL.
I guess that matters
a little more. I don't really care about the tiny hands for Kenny Pickett. I just think the Steelers will be looking at a quarterback option. Probably not next year. They love their stability. But I think we're talking in year three of Pickett. The questions will be loud. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but he's in a division with Lamar, with Deshaun, despite what he was last year. The expectation, if you're Cleveland, is that he will be a better player and certainly close to what he was traded for as far as worth. And you have Joe Burrow. The Steelers will at some point go, we are behind the eight ball when it comes to quarterback play.
Yeah.
I think the most damning thing for Kenny Pickett will be the other quarterbacks in his division. And the Steelers looking at themselves and going, we can't compete with that. We're going to have to make a change. If he was like in the AFC South, he may get 7 years.
Right.
But the best
quarterback in the division. Yeah.
But in the AFC North, the Steelers and the fans are going to go, because they got to play those guys 6 times a year. And they're going to go to them, look at themselves and go, nah, not this. We can't compete with that.
You think Kenny Pickett ever pulls a Kyle Tucker? Like, if he starts struggling, he takes off the gloves. Or I guess it's the opposite of Kyle Tucker, right? If he starts struggling, he puts the batting gloves on. You think Pickett ever does the opposite to try to get out of a rut?
I think at some point you'll try anything.
Yeah.
So if it gets to the point where – isn't Mitch Trubisky – didn't Trubisky just get an extension with them?
Yeah, they re-signed Trubisky and Rudolph in the same offseason. They're keeping that quarterback room together because why would you let any of them go?
It's only – it's the time of the year where we start ranking rooms, and it's got to be one of the worst rooms in football.
Yeah.
As far as talent and ceiling, it's a rough one. And the fact that Kenny Pickett's your most talented quarterback – actually, he's not. Trubisky's more talented than him, but we've already seen enough of Trubisky to know.
I feel better about the Texans quarterback room than I do the Steelers right now.
True. Truly. Truly. Stroud, Keenum, Mills, top Trubisky, Randolph, Rudolph. Excuse me, I call him Randolph because it doesn't matter. Rudolph and Pickett. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Is that what Myles Garrett called him?
No. Well, we
know what Rudolph called Myles Garrett.
Yeah, we know what Myles Garrett's says Rudolph called him.
Yeah.
I don't know what Myles Garrett called him, but that is one of those NFL stories that just gets pushed aside. The apparently at this point false accusation of what Myles Garrett said Mason Rudolph called him is like, you know what? Whatever. You know, it's one of the most damning things you could say someone called you, and we're like, whatever. Let's play ball. Go sack a quarterback. We don't care that you might have lied and ruined the reputation of an individual.
Yeah.
We're fine. All water under the bridge, and the least it's not even the most reprehensible thing that a Browns player has done, which is saying something considering what that accusation could do to somebody. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, we'll get more into the Astros, and I gotta talk about Georgia. What is going on there? It's one of the more interesting things as far as bad behavior for a college football program, all in the same realm. The guys can't stop doing it. We'll talk about that. We'll get into more Astros. The audition with RJ, myself, and Brad. But before we go, Brad has something to tell you.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you all about Altstadt beer. I talk about Altstadt in the afternoons every day. Now I got to tell the morning crowd about the greatness of Altstadt beer. It's my choice of beer. It should be yours as well for a number of different reasons. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. Every Altstadt is brewed with just four simple ingredients. You don't have to worry about what you're putting into your system. And most importantly, guys, the taste is absolutely right. Don't just take my word for it. There are experts at the Great American Beer Festival, at the U.S. Open Beer Championships that have given out gold medals to Altstadt beer over the last few years. We're just lucky enough to have this stuff right here in our own backyard. So on your way home from work today, stop by HEB, Specs, Twin Liquors, Total Wine, wherever you go to get your six packs and pick up a six pack of Altstadt beer. One sip and you won't go back to the other beers that you've been drinking in the past. And hey, if you're looking for something to do this summer, maybe on a weekend, how about a trip to the Altstadt Brewery? It's in Fredericksburg, right in the heart of the beautiful Central Texas Hill Country. It is the perfect day or weekend trip for the beer drinkers in your life. There's so much to do up there. I'm telling you, you won't regret making that trip either. They've got you covered. Check out their website, altstadtbeer.com, for more info. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
ESPN 97.5. Let's get back to the audition with Del Olale and the guy who's still auditioning, Brad Kellner. Will he get the part? Only Del knows that answer. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del and auditioner Brad Kellner.
Brad asked me a question that could have me going for the rest of the show. He asked me, did I have faith in Mario Cristobal? And Brad will tell you the answer was a resounding no.
No.
So, and I got into why and why it won't matter. How, if he's really bad for years, but let's just say year one was tough and it didn't matter. I mean, the money is backing Mario to a level that Miami's never done in the past. So we're stuck with him for at least probably 4 or 5 years, even if it's really bad.
He lost to A&M last year. You know how hard that was to do?
He lost to Middle Tennessee State at home. The A&M thing is on the levels of things that went poorly last year.
Yeah.
Losing to A&M by a score is probably the top of his achievements.
You have faith that y'all are winning the revenge game this year?
No. I mean, Jimbo hired Bobby Petrino, so they should be better offensively, although I still have my questions about whether Jimbo will let Bobby cook, whether he won't involve himself, because even now in the offseason, he still won't really take full responsibility for how atrocious his offense had become. So that'll be an interesting back and forth. But no, I don't have faith until proven otherwise. Like, he hired Shannon Dawson, the Cougars OC, and now certainly people in this town will take issue with some of the things Shannon Dawson has done. But at least it's not that power spread stuff that Mario ran at Oregon that he tried to run in his first year with Miami when he hired Josh Gattis, the former Michigan OC. He hires a Broyles Award winner, and Michigan people will tell you, he probably shouldn't have won that award. It was more of a collaboration as far as running that offense. He hires a Broyles Award winner on offense, and he produces one of the worst offenses in Miami football history.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it has gone.
Yeah.
And then he hires Kevin Steele, who an accomplished SEC coordinator name, and Kevin Steele gives up 45 points to Middle Tennessee State at home, who can't stop Duke. So, no, losing to A&M wasn't the worst of it. Like I said, it was probably the best of it because mm-hmm. it was a close game. He gave up 50 points to Florida State. He got blown out by Pitt at home. These are all home games. Duke, Middle Tennessee State, Florida State, Pitt. None of them were close. 5-7, it was actually – 5-7 doesn't even tell you the story of how bad it was.
Mm.
So, once again, no faith until proven otherwise.
You got the heat at least.
Unless I ruin their season by what I did to that neighbor.
Yeah, you got to worry about that for the next couple of days. Oh, man.
Yeah, now my mother apparently was listening and chimed in and said, "That your poor neighbor."
Oh, yeah.
And then she's telling me about how she talks to her neighbor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, some things don't get passed along in DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything. My willingness to stay home, she does that too. But she's certainly a more outgoing person. And Ike or Abe or Theodore felt the brunt of it.
Just old white guy.
Yeah, whatever. Well, yeah. I mean.
Guess one of those. You got a good chance of being right.
Yeah, sorry, buddy, if you're listening.
Buddy.
Yeah.
You're going to give him the guy treatment?
It's better than hey you, which is next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we do know this guy's name, Jose Altuve. Left the game sick yesterday. And that's the upside because it could have been much worse. We've talked about it before. Baseball injuries when there's no contact or we can't see it for ourselves always make you think of the worst. But sick, maybe bubble guts, maybe lightheaded. I don't know. Maybe we'll get more information. We'll see if he's in the lineup on a getaway day or if Dubon gets a start. But we can thank whatever baseball god you pray to that Jose Altuve won't be out long term. What we can't thank anyone for is for another appearance of Rafael Montero. Four runs in the eighth. Ruined any chance the Astros had of maybe a late comeback. And as you put in the rundown, his ERA is over 7. Overall, outside of Altuve not being injured, really, just an awful night. Colin Ray, who hadn't won a game that he started since 2016, got the win, kept the bats at bay. And the Abreu-Pena sixth inning squelched any rally the Astros could have had with their two-bat strikeout. So, 8-game win streak over, 2 games behind the Rangers. Did you hear what Nathaniel Lowe said, the Rangers first baseman?
I did not.
He said, do you have that? I love putting a producer on the spot because I'm used to it.
Yep. It every producer's favorite thing.
He goes, no,
right?
What? Sound? Yeah, it's from yesterday, so I apologize to RJ for that. But Nathaniel Lowe, the Rangers first baseman, they're now back to 2 games up. They won easily yesterday as the Astros were taking that L. He said something that was a little out there for me because of the confidence coming from a Rangers team who lost 94 games last year. This is what Nathaniel Lowe said.
You know, it's funny you say that because I got on a Zoom call too early in spring training and I watched a certain host at the network talk about how it's Houston's division again and they're going to win the division by 15 games. And I was like, gosh, you know, that kind of pisses me off and I don't want to say anything about it because we haven't even played a single spring training practice yet. But this team's for real. Like the starting staff is for real. There are guys in the bullpen that are competitors. There are guys that will get big outs for us. There's 120 games left or whatever it is, but the division is ours to lose. You can't sleep on the Rangers, man. We're not in contention. Like coming down the stretch, I would be very, very surprised to say something has gone horribly wrong.
Mm.
The division is ours.
Keep that same
ours
energy
to lose
in a couple of weeks, Nate Lowe. How about that? I mean, look, the Rangers are a good team. They are. They've got a plus 111 run differential. Like, I don't think this is a fluke. Like, I think they are a playoff team in the American League. But to go out and say that the division is theirs to lose after what the Astros have done over the last 7 or 8 years, I mean, come on, man. That's ridiculous. And, you know, every Astros fan is waiting for the day the Astros overtake the Rangers in the American League West so they can harp on all the Rangers fans and use that audio and that quote until the end of the year. Yeah, that's out there. That's bulletin board material that the Astros didn't need, but I'm sure they'll take.
And it's interesting in May when at the time, I think this interview occurred on either Monday or late last week, you're only up by a couple games.
Yeah.
The division is yours with a couple game lead on the team who's been the best team in baseball over the last decade and a half, or half decade or so. I mean, confidence is one thing, but look, it's baseball. I mean, I don't know how much bulletin board material matters in a 162 game year.
Mm-hmm.
How you get hyped? The Astros will be hyped up, I guess, for a Ranger series, particularly this one, because there's actually stakes as more than a silver boot. I know everyone can't get more excited for the silver boot.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
But this series will actually mean something because the Rangers are actually a good baseball team. But maybe get into August. Before we talk about whose division it is, unless you're saying the Astros are great and we just hope to compete, which is kind of deferential, but I feel like this is where this is going, that at some point the Astros will overtake you as long as health remains, and then you'll be fighting for a wild card.
You're supposed to respect your elders, right? Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? Like, honor thy father and mother?
Not if his name is Ike.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not for you personally, no. For everybody else, maybe. Yeah. Like, the Astros have been daddy to the Rangers and to every other team in the American League West. That's just the way it's been. So, yeah, ridiculous thing for Nathaniel Lowe to say. Everything else he said is fine. Like, all right, we expect to be competitive. We want to be right there with them. We didn't like it that everyone said, the Astros are going to win the division by 15 games. But to go out and say it's our division to lose, like, that's ridiculous. That would have been dumb to say when the Rangers were up four and a half games, whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago before the Astros winning streak. But they had to say that now. That's a bad bit. Once again, maybe the Astros players won't use it too much as bulletin board material, or they at least won't publicly talk about it. But, you know, Astros fans are just waiting for the day when the Astros retake the lead in the American League West and go on to win the division so they can use that against them.
Yeah, they've been inevitable in this division for years now, and I don't think anything has changed despite the Rangers' hot start. SMU Sonny, we see you. We'll get to you on the other side. We're a little late for a break. The audition rolls on into its third hour. Dell, Brad, RJ, we'll be back.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.